Talk ESPN 700.
OC and Swinney, just OC today. Swinney's got the day off. We're down at Shields and Sandy getting you ready for the big outdoor expo that goes on tomorrow, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. Bring the whole family down. Take advantage of the unbelievable deals on camping, hiking, fishing gear. Best deals of the season. We expect to see you out here. Talking some NBA hoop with us, Sean Devaney of the Sporting News covers the association. I'm sure he's been watching these playoffs with even more interest than most of us. Sean, how are you, sir?
Doing well. How are you?
Doing awesome. Glad to have you with me here. The Cleveland Cavaliers, are they going to lose a game before the NBA Finals?
I do think Toronto can get one. I think that's probably all they can get. But I do think Toronto, given the fact that they have the scorers that they do with Kyle Lowry and as bad as he's been, and DeMar DeRozan as bad as he's been, I still think that those two guys will get back to Toronto, that they'll be able to carry them to a win, but they won't be challenged. I don't think the Cavaliers at any point will feel like that. The series is in jeopardy or anything like that.
Why have those two been so bad? Obviously, they're the faces of that Toronto franchise right now. Why have they struggled so much? Is it just a bad series for them, or does the credit go to Cleveland and what they're doing defensively?
Well, I think it's for each of those guys, it's a situation they've never been in, and they haven't handled it well. And you could go back to to the start of the playoffs. I mean, there's no way they should have gone seven games against an outmatched Indiana team, and they probably shouldn't have gone seven games against Miami either. But the fact that they have, I think that does reflect poorly on their star players. And certainly, you look at Lowry shooting something like 36% from the field and 26% from the three-point line, that's just unacceptable. If you're a star player making the kind of money that he is, you've got to do better than that when you get onto the big stage. And I think both he and DeRozan have really dropped the ball on that big stage now that they're there.
I saw during the game last night across the little ticker a stat flash that LeBron, like nearly half of LeBron's made field goals in this series are on dunks so far. What does that say about Toronto's defensive effort and the way that they're handling the former league MVP?
Well, I mean, I think you saw them play James Johnson a little bit more last night, and I think that was sort of Dwayne Casey saying to the rest of his team, this is the only guy who's going to give us any effort because the rest of you aren't giving us any effort on the defensive end. And that certainly seems to be the way things have played out. It's just that the effort has not been there for Toronto on the defensive end. And granted, the way that Cleveland is playing offensively right now with not only LeBron working, but with Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving, you get all three of those factors going, and it's really hard to defend them. So certainly you can understand that from Toronto's point of view, but you want to see the effort. You want to see them trying to apply the principles defensively that got them to this point. And you just haven't. If you're Dwayne Casey, that's got to be a huge disappointment. So, I think that the way they've defended LeBron has been a disappointment to Dwayne Casey. And like I said, I think you saw a lot of James Johnson in part because of that.
Obviously, Kyrie Irving was already a big star in this league, but the way that these playoffs are going, it appears that he's being brought along as kind of the guy. LeBron's not quite yet passing the torch, but showing him how to carry things when he has to. Does it qualify as kind of a breakout season, a breakout playoff season for Kyrie Irving, the way that he's produced?
Yeah, I would say so, because he's really put everything together in this postseason, and by that I mean – You know, he's great in the pick and roll, and he has been fantastic in the pick and roll, attacking the basket. He's also a very good perimeter shooter, which as a point guard in the NBA these days, you've got to be. And he certainly has fulfilled that role as well. I think you put those things together. He hasn't been a huge negative defensively, which is typically one of the things that's been really lacking for Kyrie Irving. But he hasn't been a sort of a black hole defensively. So you put all those things together, and I think that this is the best Kyrie Irving that we've seen is the one that we've seen in the last month or so. I do think that this has a chance to be a breakout kind of postseason, and eventually LeBron is going to age, and he's going to need somebody else to take on more and more of the load, and I think he has more faith in Kyrie Irving to do that than anybody right now.
LeBron passed Shaq, I believe, on the all-time playoff scoring list last night. He's up to number four now, and that's obviously very lofty company. He and Michael, the only one to reach those kind of heights in under 200 playoff games. LeBron's still got a lot of playoff basketball left in him, I think. Is he going to finish his career at the top of that list?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, I don't foresee them falling out of the postseason anytime soon. I know that he does sort of he's had these short-term contracts, and some people have speculated that maybe he's not leaving Cleveland. He's going to stay in Cleveland, and the team that's around him now is going to be pretty similar to the team that'll be around him in 2, 3, 4 years. And as long as that is the case, then I think he's going to be in a position to get into a lot of postseasons and go deep in the postseason for a lot of years in Cleveland. So, I do think that the way things are set up, that he will eventually catch Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and be number one on that list.
Sean Devaney of the Sporting News, my guest here on ESPN 700, talking NBA playoffs. Let's jump over to the Western Conference Final. The sort of surprise in Game 1 was that Oklahoma City was able to get one at Oracle. I thought this was going to be maybe a six-game series. We're going to see it go seven, though. Is this one that Oklahoma City can actually win?
I don't think they can win it. I think in the end that, especially in terms of depth and in terms of how much into their bench Steve Kerr can go with the Warriors, I think that gives Golden State an advantage that that Oklahoma City ultimately won't be able to make up. The Warriors are very capable of going on the road and winning a game in Oklahoma City. So I think that ultimately we'll see Golden State win this series. How long it takes, that's tough to say. I could certainly see it ending in six games on the road in Oklahoma City. But if they don't get it done there, then I would expect they would get it done in the Game 7 next Sunday. But right now, I would be on board with Golden State probably in seven games. But that's credit to the Thunder, really, that they played so well. But I think ultimately it'll be Golden State one way or the other.
Does what happens in this series affect what Kevin Durant does in free agency when this season over, whenever it ends for the
season? No, I really don't think so. I think that he's got such a big decision to make. If they had flopped out in the first round and things had gone badly and just everything went sideways on them, then that might have been something that he factored in. But the fact that they beat the Spurs in the last round, that they're here in the Western Conference Finals, one of the final four teams. Certainly competitiveness is going to be one of the considerations he takes. When he's making that decision in terms of where he's going to go next, where he's going to play next. I just really can't see this series being something that. Look, if they win and they win a championship, it might obviously push him to remain in Oklahoma City. But he's got so many other things to consider at this point that I don't think what happens in this series is necessarily going to push him one way or the other.
Fans here in Utah are interested in the fact that Jeff Hornacek, one of the more beloved jazz players in team history, he's now the head coach of the New York Knicks. Does he have a chance to succeed there, Sean?
No, I really don't think so. I think, when you look at the situation they're in, it's a limited market in terms of attractiveness. I don't think a lot of players want to go there, which is sort of contrary to history and the way things have been in the past. But, I think right now the Knicks, that's not a very nice location to be in terms of the scrutiny that you're going to get and the chance you have of actually winning. So, I think a lot of star players are going to shy away from that. A lot of players don't want to play with Carmelo Anthony. And as a coach, if you're going to be dictated from the front office as to what kind of offense you're going to run, if you're going to be told by Phil Jackson that you've got to run the triangle offense, with a team that's just not equipped for that, that just doesn't have the personnel to run that sort of offense, it just seems like really this is a job that where Jeff is being set up for the fall here. If I were him, I would have taken an assistant's job. He might have gotten a job with the Warriors. That was one of the rumors that was out there that he might be an assistant with the Warriors. To me, that's a more attractive way to sort of resuscitate your coaching career after what happened in Phoenix, rather than going to the Knicks where it's pretty much bound to fail.
I've been asking everybody this that we talk to in NBA circles because I can't figure it out. Why isn't Patrick Ewing getting a head job yet?
Yeah, it's one of those things that it's almost like, because nobody else has made the decision to hire him, then everybody else is looking at it. Well, nobody else has done it, so why should we be first? There must be something wrong with him. It's pretty crazy because you talk to the people that have worked with him. The Van Gundys, both of them, Stan and Jeff, for instance, and certainly Steve Clifford now, and they all say he is ready for a head coaching job. But for some reason, as many interviews as he might get, he just doesn't get the job. And I agree with you. It's a bit of a mystery. And I think it is one of those sort of, monkey see, monkey do sort of things where, because nobody else is hiring him, well, we better not hire him because there must be something wrong with him. There's really no other explanation. I mean, he's a guy as an assistant coach and certainly as a player, who has enough of a reputation where he deserves a shot, and for whatever reason, that shot has not come for him.
Yeah, he was my favorite player growing up, and whatever reason, I thought this was going to be the offseason with a Knicks job open, an Orlando job open, and a Houston job open, all organizations that he's worked with or around before. I thought for sure that he would get one of those jobs, and it doesn't look like he's going to get any of them.
No, right, like you say with Jeff, I think he's being hired to be fired. I think he's being hired, and he'll be gone in 2 years, and Phil Jackson will be out as the general manager, and they'll be looking. So why not hire Patrick Ewing? Like if that's the job is you've got nothing to lose, then why not give it to Patrick Ewing and let him at least try? It just doesn't make much sense to me.
The NBA draft lottery was rather anticlimactic after Dikembe Mutombo spoiled it for everybody. I guess that there were like 2.7 fewer million viewers than they expected on that. Good or bad for the NBA that I've always thought the draft lottery itself, the draft cool, the draft lottery itself was just kind of a weird show. But is there any like long-term effect from this? The fact that people might... Do they believe it's more or less rigged because of what happened? Does it have any effect?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I've been in the room when they've done the the drawing of the ping pong ball. It's not rigged. I mean, they have these weird combinations of four balls. They have Ernst & Young is there. They have all these security details. It's not rigged. I can say that for sure. But, yeah, you know, I mean, the fact that people are watching it or not watching it, I don't know that really matters. I think people watch it more if there is a player at the top that everyone clearly wants. And there just wasn't, you know, I mean, there just really wasn't. And I think it's also a function of the game that precedes the, that the show precedes, you know, so, I don't think people are that interested in the Cavaliers and the Raptors. It's just, that's just not, going to draw a big rating. So, you know, if you had, a Lakers Warriors game with Anthony Davis as the number one pick, then that show would be off the charts rating wise. But you know, I think that the fact that it was Toronto and Cleveland and nobody people don't necessarily aren't necessarily going crazy for Ben Simmons or anything like that. I think that helps to diminish the appeal of that show.
That's Sean Devaney of the Sporting News, covers the NBA. Sean, thanks for taking the time. We'll talk with you before these NBA finals are done.
All right, great. Thanks for having me.